What if it rained food? What if Earth was a cube? What if we had nine lives? What if bits could fly? It's absurd. If money grew on trees, if we didn't have these, if we walked through life slightly magnetical, it's absurd. Absurd hypotheticals.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Absurd Hypotheticals, the show where we overthink dumb questions so you don't have to. I'm your host, Marcus Lehner, and I'm joined here today by Chris Yee and Ben Storms. Say hi, guys.
Hey, I'm Chris.
Hey, I'm Ben.
Before we get started today, I wanted to share a news article I happened to come across today, which is titled, Australian Court Rules Farting at Someone May Not Be Bullying. The victim said that his former supervisor, who he called Mr. Stinky, would fart around him 5 or 6 times a day.
Like, every day?
Also important, does it say if he called him Mr. Stinky before or after the farting started? Like, was this a pre-existing nickname, or...
No, I think he's calling him this, like, in his official filings.
Like, I see. Okay.
So, I'm gonna say this. First off, this is not, like... I read this, I'm like, oh, some kids at school are farting each other. No, this is in an office. This is a 56-year-old man who is suing his boss in this construction company for coming into his office too often and farting, or farting in his direction, thinking it would be funny. Like, what do you... The thing is, he would... So here's a quote. He would fart behind me and walk away. He would do this 5 or 6 times a day. I can't imagine, even with a name like Mr. Stinky, you have more than 5 or 6 farts in you a day that you can distribute at will.
Yeah, that takes some, like, control.
I don't even know if I fart that much. I don't even, I can't even.
I mean, does he like exclusively eat beans?
He could be lactose intolerant and does nothing about it.
Oh, that is true. He could have like some kind of colon condition.
That's
in which
also
case
possible.
The farts are going to be way worse.
That's also true.
So the way it's worded, it sounds like he's doing it on purpose.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So he testified that he had moved out of a communal office space to avoid his supervisor's flatulence. But then after that, the supervisor would come into his small windowless office several times a day and break wind.
See, this is the one advantage of open floor plan offices, is that it's much less of an impact if something like this happens to you.
Right. It sounds like he purposefully moved from an open area to a small enclosed area with no ventilation.
That's the wrong tactic to take here.
Yeah.
You want more ventilation.
Like, what gets me is, like, I'm trying to imagine what I would do if my boss just decided to start doing this. It's like, can you quit? Like, is it enough of an excuse to quit?
I feel like you can go to HR. Like,
yeah.
This seems like a reasonable, like, I don't know.
But if he's a supervisor, he's, like, you know, probably hired HR.
Well, that's the point of HR.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. The idea of HR is that they're the person you can go to in a situation like, not this one specifically necessarily, but...
Only fart issues.
Would you go to HR with this problem? Like, if it's your boss, and then your boss finds out you went to HR?
If it bothers you this much to sue him, then yeah.
I can only imagine. So here's the thing. I can only imagine that if he moved to a different space, he must have already gotten HR involved or something.
Yeah, because you can't just get up and move on your own. You usually have to, like, tell people that you're moving.
Right. Yeah, get, like, there's approval. Like a process. Yeah. So, like... This seems like an HR escalation thing. I don't know. How do you get to suing? Like, what are his damages?
He is suing for $1.8 million Australian dollars, which is $1.3 million for damages.
And you said they already decided this.
Right. So yeah, it is, the court found that it is not, basically the argument is flatulence constituted assaults is what he's, what the main guy's arguing. And the court's like, farting is not assault, even if he meant to do it.
What? Also, how do you get to I'm going to use the American conversion here, $1.3 million in damages from this. Like, you can't just make up a number and say that's your damages. You have to, like, justify it. That's how court works.
He argues he was bullied in the workplace until his job was terminated.
What was he doing that he has $1.3 million from his job being terminated? What was his job? Please tell me.
He is a engineer at a construction firm at, really, really creative name here, Construction Engineering.
Dug deep for that one.
Also, this article came out March 29th, 2019. He had left the office, or his job was terminated, in 2008.
Has he just not worked this entire time, and that's why he's saying that's how high his damages are?
Yeah, or his lawsuit has been going on for 10 fucking years? The fart lawsuit? Like,
that seems absurd.
How do you talk to people at, like, holidays? Like, oh, what have you been up to? Oh, you know, just talking to my lawyers. The fart thing again, man? Yeah, the fart thing. It's assault, I tell you.
No, see, actually, the better side of this is not from his perspective. It's the lawyers. Because there's a decent chance that there is some, like, you know, junior partner or something at this law firm that is, like, their course load. And for the last 10 years, every time they see their lawyer friends, they're like, hey, you still on the fart case? Yeah, I'm still on the fart case. Like... it'll clear out soon, buddy. Don't worry.
My question is, after he got fired, did the guy move on to someone else? Is someone else having this problem now?
That's a good question. Is he a serial farter, or was it something personal?
Also, one more fact on this. He only worked there for 11 months.
So it's some sort of, like, hazing thing.
a literal hazing.
Yeah.
If you can put up with 12 months of farts, you get a promotion. But he was only 2 weeks away until he quit. And then sued, apparently.
This all is baffling to me. Everything about this.
I can't believe that you would sue over this and that you would quit over farts in, like, less than a year. Like,
Did he quit or did he get fired?
He was fired. So I guess he's arguing that he got forced out of the workplace by bullying. I guess he thought farting office was his way his boss was telling him he's fired.
I feel like there's clearly something else, some other part of this that we don't know, because I don't understand how...
Maybe, like, he got fired and he, like, had a lawyer friend, and his lawyer friend's like, well, why do you think he got fired? He's like, I don't know, my boss just was always mean to me. He's like, oh, maybe you have a case here. How is he mean to you? And he's like... Oh, you know, he would just, like, come into my office and fart a bunch. And he's like, hold on, this might be a case. You might have a case
it's
here.
It's technically possibly a
Maybe
case.
Maybe there are, like, health implications. You're, like, breathing in.
Are there?
No, they just say that it's assault. He's just trying to argue that it's assault. And the judge is like, it's not assault, it's farts. But I think we've,
You're trying to think of a fart pun, aren't you?
Yeah.
We're just, you know, spitting hot air over here.
Yeah, I think we're just spitting hot air over here.
There we go.
So let's move on to our question of the day, which is, what if all sports were in a swimming pool? For those of you who heard our last lightning round, this question might sound familiar, because when we talked about it there, we kind of actually really liked it, and we were talking about a bunch of different sports that might actually be pretty cool. So we decided to make a whole episode out of it.
So I did basketball, which is one of the major sports.
Of the sports, it is
of the sports
of all the. Well, I say that because you guys did more obscure sports.
Yeah, that's true. Fair enough.
But basketball, so pool basketball is actually a thing. You guys have probably played it or seen other people play it, where you're in a pool, you have like a mini basketball, and there's like a basket you just run in the pool. It's kind of boring.
So is that your answer?
Yes.
Yes. No, answer done.
All right,
that is
Ben.
Not my answer. Obviously, I wanted to make this more interesting. And in our lightning round, we actually talked about using, like, the buoyant force of the basketball, where you'd, like, push the basketball underwater and then, like, have it launch up, and that's how you'd, like, shoot things, which I thought that was a cool idea, so I wanted to incorporate that somehow. And we also talked about the issue of dribbling, like, how would you dribble? And, like, dribbling is based on, like, how many steps you take, and if you're not stepping on the ground, then what constitutes a dribble and travel and stuff like that. So to solve that problem, I was thinking, can we just play basketball completely underwater and you'd just like walk on the floor of the pool and then you'd be able to step and you'd be able to clearly define if you're traveling or not, and that would work. So that was my initial thought. I was like, okay, well, weigh down the players, they'll play on the floor. And then to shoot, you would use the inverse trajectory based on like the buoyant force. So like... In normal basketball, the basketball has, like, an arc, but you'd have, like, an inverse arc.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's a pretty neat idea. So I started to look into, like, other underwater sports that exist just for reference, just to see how they work and how they deal with, like, different problems. And I found underwater hockey, which is basically just a bunch of people swimming underwater, and they have, like, tiny... It's not like normal hockey. They have, like, tiny hockey sticks, and there's a puck on the ground, and they just, like... swing at it.
Very got cool.
It. It's a little weird. They're not.
I mean,
walking.
It sounds like hockey to me.
They're like swimming though. They're not walking, so they're not like weighed down or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. That doesn't solve my problem because they're not walking. They need to be stepping to dribble. And then I found underwater ice hockey, which sounds similar because it's hockey, but it's actually completely different. What they do here is they go to a pond that's been frozen over, and they cut some holes in so that they can go into the water, and they flip upside down and play on the underside of the ice.
What?
Yeah.
Is this real?
It's real. I saw a video of it, and it's pretty... I mean, it's super slow because it's underwater, but that's what they're doing.
But what about the temperature? Aren't you, like, dead? Doesn't your body go into shock?
I'm assuming they're in, like wetsuits.
They're in wetsuits. Yeah. They're in, like, full wetsuits. I don't know how they deal with the temperature because it's still super cold if it's frozen over, but they do it. They probably have, like, time limitations, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I've never worn a wetsuit, but, like... It's not a fucking, like, cloak of heating from, like, D&D or something. It's not going to just make the water warm.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, that doesn't affect my issues because they don't have to play in super cold water. But I wanted to take that idea of playing a sport upside down underwater and see if we can do that with basketball. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to put a solid surface on the top of the pool. And then the players are going to go into the pool. They'll flip upside down and play on the top surface. And to do this, we don't need to weigh down the players. They can just float and they'll stand on the top. And then the baskets will actually be on the bottom of the pool. And the buoyant force going upward will be just like the equivalent of gravity. So you just play the entire thing upside down.
Huh.
Now, obviously the buoyant force is different than gravity. So I want to like compare them. So the buoyant force of a standard size NBA basketball is... 69.4 newtons, and the gravity force on a basketball is 6.1 newtons, which is net force upward of 63.3 newtons. So obviously, the upward force is way bigger than gravity is. So I was like, can we make this basketball heavier, like more dense, so that it's equal to the gravity force? So if we have a basketball that's 14 pounds... but it's still the same dimensions, then the upward force will be basically what gravity is going down. So we're going to have a 14-pound ball, and that solves that issue. So the whole point of this, we're trying to, like, recreate, like, all the basketball things that you do, like dribbling and passing and shooting in water. But one of the obvious problems with that is that water resistance is much higher than air resistance.
Yeah, just a smidge.
So even if gravity is the same... or if the buoyant force is the same as gravity, you're still going to have issues. So I looked into that, and water resistance is 800 times more than air resistance.
Yeah, a smidge.
A little bit more.
So I was thinking, okay, that means you need 800 times the force to dribble, pass, and shoot. So you obviously can't do that with just, like, your hands. But if you're, like, if you have, like, technology, if you're augmented to... be able to do that, then maybe it'll work. So the first thing I looked into was underwater propulsion jets, which they're usually used to navigate underwater, and you can see, like, sometimes scuba divers use them just to, like, move. And commercial models of these propulsion jets provide, like, somewhere around 5 pounds of thrust, which is not a lot. That's nowhere close to what we need, but there are military grade models of these, and they provide up to 665 pounds of thrust. And that's more like it.
That's a smidge more. Just an extra smidge to counter the other smidge.
Yeah. Yeah. So my idea here is people will have, like, Iron Man style hand thrusters on both of their hands, and that's how they'll dribble. And I think you'll probably need, like, an opposite direction thruster that'll activate at the same time so your hand doesn't go, like, shooting off.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, it just takes you to the bottom of the pool.
Yeah. And I don't know exactly, because it might end up just crushing your hand, so you might need, like, a super strong, I don't know, armor thing on your hand.
And then you need a specific anti-wrist thruster, and then another thruster. And then...
just be covered in thrusters. Yeah, so those will be on your hands, and then you'll have thrusters on your feet for, like, jumping and stuff. You can dunk and block and stuff like that. And that's basically all he does. So you'll if you want to dribble, you'll activate the thruster with like a button every like few seconds. He'll walk. It might be a little hard to walk underwater, but it'll still technically work. And then you can shoot. And that's how basketball works.
So it's exactly the same, except there's way more tech.
Yeah, exactly the same, except there's you're upside down and you have Iron Man stuff.
Makes sense.
easy peasy.
So, Ben, what did you do?
So I looked at tennis, which there are some immediate issues that you have with regards to pool tennis, which the first one we have to sort of figure out is getting the ball to bounce, because similarly to basketball, it's a pretty important part of tennis, the fact that the ball bounces.
Ooh, I know. Let's add thrusters.
I did not add thrusters. I'm going to go ahead and say that now so you don't get too excited. What I found was a product called the Waboba Bouncing Ball. Waboba, basically, it's the name of the company. It stands for Water Bouncing Ball. It's not a particular.
Oh, so it's like a ball with thrusters.
The ball does not have thrusters. I said no thrusters. I thought I was clear about this, but apparently not. There are no thrusters involved. I know this is a very big disappointment to you, Marcus.
I understand. Now, Marcus, I understand, Ben.
Marcus, how do you think it works?
Well, I'm going to let you tell me.
Okay, but there's no thrusters. That's the important part. Anyway, so basically what it does, it's made of a combination of like polymers that basically makes it deform a bunch when it hits the water. So it sort of skips the way like a skipping stone does.
Is it still round?
Yes, it's a round ball. So basically the reason that it's tough for like balls to bounce on water is that they don't deform. They'll hit the water, they'll impact, they'll make like a little like indentation where they hit. And they kind of just get caught on that indentation and sort of, you know, lose a lot of their force. But with like a skipping stone, it makes it somewhere.
You counteract that force by adding thrusters.
No, there's no, Marcus, what did I say? I was abundantly clear about the lack of thrusters in this plan. So if you look at a skipping stone, it does something kind of similar where it hits the water and makes an indentation. But then because it's flat like that, it skips up off that indentation, sort of ramps off it and keeps going. So this ball hits and is round, so it makes the indentation. But then because it deforms much more than a regular ball, it then flattens and skips up in the same way.
So it deforms more on other things too, though, right?
This is true. Yeah. It would deform more.
It's basically
more on
like a flat, like,
it's kind of like, you know, when you see, like, if you see like the videos of when someone hits a baseball and the ball, like, you know, they slow it down, like, you know, 100 times or whatever, and the ball like goes flat on impact and then rebounds.
I like how your example was a ball that's stiffer than a tennis ball.
Well, no. So my point is that it does something similar, but it takes much less force for it to deform.
Right.
But it's the same idea where it flattens on impact, so it maintains its more of its velocity. So it basically it moves very much in the same way like a skipping stone does, where it sort of jumps across the water like that. So we're going to use that because that bounces, which, as we mentioned, is important and requires, Marcus, how many thrusters?
About 7.
No, Marcus, we went over this, buddy. No thrusters. 0 thrusters. All right, so we have a ball with no thrusters. We have a ball. We need rackets now. You could just use normal rackets probably still, but that's not fun. I think the rackets are actually basically like flippers. Because then you can also use them to, like, propel yourself through the water more easily, too, which seems really fun.
So are they on your hand or your feet?
So I think it has, like, a handle like a tennis racket, but then at the end it's just, like, a flipper. But then you can, like, grab it and, you know, pull yourself through the water like that. But on that point, I think it's a lot of fun if everyone just also has flippers on as well, just for, you know, faster movement once again. And then, of course, I feel like at that point, those should also be legal to return shots with. Now, you might be asking, why not have flippers on both hands? The reason that we don't is, one, the two-handed backhand is really cool. I don't want to lose that. And two, you need to be able to toss the ball up to serve it. And I know there's ways around that, but it's mostly the two-handed backhand thing because that's really cool. I like that a lot. That's one of my favorite parts of tennis, the two-handed backhand. So we're conserving that. So one racket, 2 flippers.
The serve toss is the most frustrating part of tennis. I'm going to say that right here, right now.
It is, and it's probably much more frustrating.
Because all you have to do is throw the ball literally straight up, like, 2 feet. And it is the hardest fucking thing in the world. And it makes you feel so dumb.
But imagine how much simpler it'll be while you're also having to tread water while doing it.
Well, the thrusters will compensate for throwing it off center.
Marcus! Once again, no thrusters. Anyway, so we have rackets. We actually have technically 3 rackets per player now, if you count the flippers. So extra rackets, which means extra tennis or something. Next kind of issue, the lines on the court are kind of tricky because you can't draw on water. I don't know if you've ever tried this, but it doesn't work very well. So we need a way to have lines. I really wanted to just use, like, you know, like when you go to like the pool at the Y and there's the pool lane lines. I really wanted to use those, but I think there's too much of a chance that, you know, the ball will hit them and skip off of them and go off in a weird direction.
And you can't, like, go past them as a person.
Well, we're going to get to that.
Oh.
So I think it has to be something floating on the water. I just want it to be smaller than that. So I think it is just, you know, a rope or cable or something that is pulled semi-taut. And I think you do have to go either over or under it. Either in like a dolphin leap over or a, you know, duck under, because that also seems very fun.
I don't know if that's really possible.
I don't know if you're really possible. The vision is cool, okay? You have the extra flipper. You can get a lot of force. I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
Well, you need the back thruster.
Marcus.
This time for real, though. You could use one
this
to do
one
that.
Could actually help.
Okay, maybe there's a thruster. Maybe there's one.
I was done, but that's too perfect.
Not on the ball. Maybe on the player. Okay, I will give you that. Maybe, just so we can have some dolphin jumps. All right, I will accept that. Maybe, because I would like dolphin jumps if possible. So you have, let's say, like a cable that is the lines. You got the lines out there. Same setup as a regular tennis court. There are going to be some rule changes as well. The court probably does have to be a little bit smaller because it is going to be harder to move around than just, you know, on your legs, I would guess, even with the flippers. So I don't know the exact size, but you can figure, I mean, this is one of those things you have to kind of sort of test.
Do you know how big is a, like a normal tennis court?
I don't actually have that. I probably should have, I looked it up at one point and then realized it was going to be too big and didn't write down how big it is.
It's definitely too big though.
What's funny is I've actually written down the dimensions of a tennis court multiple times in other notes and not the one where I talk about tennis. Way to go.
Not the one that's specifically tennis.
Yeah, you think I would have.
Why have you written that down in other questions? We've never talked about tennis.
I think I've used it as a size reference. Yeah.
Oh.
A couple of times. The other big thing, and, you know, this is a decent change. I think you need, you know, in traditional land-based tennis, you get one bounce with the ball. I think you need more than one bounce because it's skipping like a stone. It's a much like shallower bounce. So I think I couldn't decide. So I can't decide what's better because there's kind of two options here. You either you get like 3 bounces, or there is a, you know, the regular out of bounds, then like a really out of bounds. If it goes past that while bouncing, you lose the point.
How many times does the ball usually bounce in water? Because you could just do, like, once it stops bouncing.
So I thought about that, too. But so there's a couple issues with that, because that was the first thing I was thinking about. One, it's tough to sort of judge when something is actually stopped.
If the pool is constantly moving, then it might make it complicated.
The other tough thing is that with something like a, you know, like a drop shot where you hit it, you know, real softly right up front. I don't know if, I guess in actual tennis, that is pretty much just kind of, it is kind of done it pretty quickly. So maybe it still fits the spirit of the game, but I don't know. Maybe that one's not as much of an issue, but.
How about this?
Please
you
give
put,
me.
You add it like, I'm not going to say thrusters, don't worry.
Thank you, okay.
You put up walls like racquetball around the pool.
Ooh.
And now your ball has to be bouncing far enough to hit the wall. So you definitely get at least a chance at it on the bounce. And if you hit it too hard, it bounces off the wall and bounces back to your side now.
Interesting.
So the ideal shot is bounce, wall, and then bounces back on your opponent's court. So they can kind of get two stabs at it.
Yeah, so maybe it is a legal hit if it hits. It has to hit the wall and then hit in their side of the court again.
Correct, to free a point for you.
So in this scenario, the pool is the entire room. So the room is like the size of the pool. It's just a pool room.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it has to hit the water, then hit the wall, and then hit the water again.
Yes.
That I like. That is a good non-thruster addition from Marcus. Thank you. I appreciate it. So I think that's kind of the sport. I might actually be on board with a thruster because I do really want that dolphin leaping. And you're not going to get there with just the three flipper system. You're right.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to go under, like, even if you're not jumping over the lines, you still have to go under, and that's going to take forever.
I don't think it's too bad. You can dive under real quickly.
You're going to have such jacked legs treading water with flippers, like the whole tennis
match.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, it's going to be absurd.
What if it was just waist deep water?
So I considered that too.
That's just less fun. That's
right.
Less
I thought sporting. I thought that was less of the spirit of the question.
That's basically like what actual pool basketball is.
Right. Yeah. I thought about that, but then it basically is just kind of tennis, but a little bit slower and, you know, with like the skippy ball thing.
But way more diving shots because you're going to dive every fucking time.
Oh, that's anyhow. True. Yeah. So that's kind of what I have. Marcus, what did you do?
I did water polo. Nope, scratch that. Polo in the water.
Yeah, you gotta make that clarification, because water polo is actually kind of the same as a sport already played in a pool.
Why do they both have, like, the same name?
They're similar. I mean, it's the same basic idea, just, you know, plus water minus horses.
It's a pretty big difference.
Well, yeah, this is true.
So yeah, so let's go over very briefly what polo is. Polo is a game, it's basically soccer on horses. So you have two teams of four that'll be on horses with big long mallets, and there'll be a small ball on the ground that you're hitting and trying to get into your opponent's net. Beyond that, none of the rules are actually interesting. Like, it's just, you just get to hit it.
Yeah. Is there a goalie polo?
So what they have is they have four positions. They're called number one, number two, number three, and number four.
They really broke the bank on making names, huh?
Yeah, so basically this is exactly how it goes. Number one is in front. They are the most offense-oriented position on the field. Number two is behind them, and they play kind of midfield. Number three is behind them, and they kind of play defense midfield. And number four is the defensive guy. Not like a straight goalie, but he's like stays in the back to
got it.
Try to prevent scoring.
So they're just all in like a straight line?
Yeah, so you're basically like in a straight line in the field. And your number one is covering their number four, and your number two is covering their number three, and number three is covering number two, blah, 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 etc. What I do like is that in the description, like the three descriptions I read for like what these numbers are, they all recommended where your best player should be and where your worst player should be typically.
Oh, can I guess? Please let me guess.
Sure.
The worst is definitely number two. The best is definitely, it's either number one or number four.
Both ways incorrect. So,
shit.
Number one is typically your weakest player.
Okay.
Because I guess they just got to stay out there and, you know, score goals. So they just got to get past two and hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is usually actually your second best player. Because number three is where your best player goes. So number three, they say, is the tactical leader that must be a long, powerful hitter to feed balls to number one and number two, as well as maintaining a solid defense. But the caveat, and sometimes number two is the best player. If your number three and number two are close, you'll put your number two to counter their number three as a best player, and you'll put them together.
And then number three gets the treasure chest.
Yeah, and then number three gets the treasure chest, and everybody's happy.
Yeah. Who has the most thrusters?
Well, they all have one horsepower of thrust.
Mm, that makes sense.
So my first question was, if you put horses in a pool, what happens?
The question on everyone's minds. The question of our times.
Didn't we kind of look this up in our lightning round, like, very quickly?
Yeah, we did. So I pulled up the same article again. So there's a story of a flood that happened on a farm in Australia where this guy's racehorses treaded water for 7 hours to survive the flood.
That's way higher than I would think.
Yeah.
That is a long fucking time to tread water. So horses can swim and tread water. But here's the problem with the horses. One, I don't think they're particularly fast swimmers, and their legs are kind of everywhere, and they, you know, kick real good is a thing horses are good at. So it's going to be not a pleasant experience for the horses. And then secondly, horses don't actually have the ability to close their airways. So if they drop underwater, like their head just drops underwater, they can drown very easily. So for humanity's sake, I'm going to say we're not going to use the horses. Also, it's kind of going to be slow and awkward and not super interesting to watch, I don't think.
For right. humanity's sake, not for the horse's sake?
I don't think it's interesting for the human's sake. You're just kind of sitting on this horse that's like trying to barely swim, and you're just kind of like looking around, hoping a ball comes your way, I guess. So what we need is the aquatic form of horses, which, Ben, get excited. It's dolphins.
Yay!
Kind of sad you didn't go with the pun for seahorses.
Yeah. Well, they're kind of
small. Oh my god, damn. Should have made tiny seahorses. All right, let me change my answer. It's tiny seahorses. But, yeah, so I was looking up if you can actually ride a dolphin, theoretically. But it turns out you can also just go to a place and pay to ride a dolphin. So they have, like, the, you know, interact with the dolphins, and you get to, like, pet them and whatnot at a lot of resorts. But some of them even have ones where you can grab onto its dorsal fin, and it'll, swim you around a bunch. So this is the basis of water polo now. I guess pool polo, I'll just differentiate. I'll call it pool polo.
That's a good call, yeah.
So the first thing is how dolphins are a bit faster than swimmers generally. So you're going to need a pretty big pool. An Olympic-sized swimming pool is 50 meters long by 25 wide. And so the world record swimming speed for 50 meters is 20.91 seconds by the Brazilian Cesar Cielo. So 21 seconds is a fine amount of time to get across a field in a sport. But a dolphin who can swim at like 35 miles an hour can do that same distance in 3.2 seconds, which I think is less of an okay number for your sport.
Yeah, that's a little bit too fast breaky right there.
Yeah, so you probably need a pool like maybe like 2 to 3 times the size. Again, like Ben, like you said with tennis, it's going to require a bit of play testing to find the right distance. So after that, we have the arena. Now we just need the ball. So polo is normally played with a small like 4.5-inch diameter inflated ball. Like sometimes they put like leather skin on the outside. Sometimes it's plastic. They use actually a bunch of different kinds. But I think that ball is going to be a bit too small. Like you can hit it if it's on the ground, but I think if it's churning in the water full of, you know, dolphins and players and things, it's going to be too hard to hit a tiny ball like that with a mallet. So I'm going to bump that up to like volleyball size.
So the properties of the ball are basically like a volleyball.
Right. And that's like, yeah. So it's going to be basically a volleyball because I think volleyball is also a good amount of hardness to get hit by mm-hmm. if someone hits it with the mallet. But the original reason I looked up what kind of ball it was because I was worried the ball might sink. And that got me thinking, I wasn't using the coolest part about a pool for sports, which is that it's three-dimensional. So I want to have the floaty volleyball. I want to have the floaty volleyball on the top. But I also want to add a heavy ball that sinks to the bottom. So that kind of like that hockey you mentioned, I think what we're going to do is we're going to have a combo of floaty volleyball on top, and you have a surface level game with the net up there. And at the bottom of the pool, you have like a heavier ball and like a slower but more tactical game with a net on the that's so at like the bottom of the pool.
Two separate games happening at the same time.
Yeah, and this also helps solve the problems of dolphins being very fast because like you're gonna have two games to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think it is, I think each player gets three dolphins. I think the way you travel mostly on the top, I don't think you hold on to the dorsal fin on the top one. I think the way you do it is like when they do the SeaWorld tricks and things where you have two dolphins that go under each foot and lift you out of the water, which is super cool to look at, and I think would be the best to watch as a sport. So that's basically, I think the way the game progresses is you get two dolphins, one under each foot that you stand on top of.
Dolphin skis.
You hit like the volleyball where you need to do it, and then you're probably out of control at that point. So I think you hop off your double dolphin team, and you land on your third dolphin, who immediately dives you down to hit the ball on the lower level. And you're kind of just bouncing back and forth between the bottom game and the top game. And that's basically my dolphin water pool polo sport.
How many players are there going to be per team if there's two things going on?
Also, how many dolphins?
So polo is played 4v4, which would be 8 players and 24 dolphins in a pool. Which is probably enough. players, and I imagine dolphins are smart enough they might be able to play independently a bit too.
Just let the dolphins take the human aspect out of it.
Yeah, I guess you could probably just teach the dolphins to play a sport. But we'll keep humans in it because I mean polo is a rich man's sport, and there's nothing quite rich manly as
trained dolphins
kind of sort of abusing animals for an entertainment.
Oh, that's reasonable. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I got.
Cool.
That's what I got.
I like it.
So with those three excellent sports done, which one would you play the most, Chris? Which one do you think you would play?
I would probably play...
The one I would play the most is probably the tennis, because it seems like the most...
If tennis had the thrusters, I would play tennis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think tennis is definitely your everyday sport.
Right. The other two are much higher commitment.
Yeah. The basketball seems like it needs a lot of equipment to just play basketball. And the polo feels like you play it like two or three times in your lifetime is the pool polo sport.
Right.
That's for special occasions. But I think that brings us over to our Would You Rather round. So, Ben, would you rather be super fast or super strong?
So I actually had to think about this exact, well, there were more options as well. So my fiance and I do BuzzFeed quizzes together.
Oh.
And this was actually a question on one of them because, at least as of when we're recording this, Avengers Endgame just came out. So like every...
No spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers, don't worry. Like literally every single BuzzFeed quiz is either Avengers or Game of Thrones or both. a lot of both, actually. But so I personally would probably go super fast just because I feel like in my day-to-day life it would be more useful to be super fast and super strong a lot of the time. And also just like as someone who runs, I just enjoy that feeling of moving fast even when that fastness isn't actually all that fast in the grand scheme of things. So I feel like running fast would just be really fun.
So do we want to define how fast super fast is and how
that's
strong
good,
super
that's
strong
a good question.
Is?
That's actually a very good point. Are we talking like the flash
I think less
or?
Than flash speed,
okay.
But definitely in the superhuman realm.
Right.
So like
double the normal speed or triple?
I'd say 3 to 4 times more on either for both of them.
Okay. So like basically you're just like normal standard running would be like Usain Bolt sprinting.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
And then your super strength, your just normal like strength would be, you know, lifting like stronger than strongman lifting, like twice as strong as a strongman. I don't know.
Or like you can just easily lift a car.
Yeah. Okay. I think I would still go super fast.
Yeah, I think I would be the same. I'd go super fast. Just you'd save so much time.
You know, right? It just seems very useful.
Yeah, I agree. Super fast is probably the one to go with because you don't really need to use all your strength all that often.
Right.
Super strong is very like a very specific. Like if you're moving, then it's useful.
Yeah.
Or if you just want to, like, show off.
What if we added resilience to the super strongness? Like, you're super strong and hardy, where it's hard to injure you now.
I don't really get in fights a lot. I guess with super strong, I'd be able to fight crime, if that was a thing I wanted to do.
Yeah, actually, I didn't even think about it in the context of actually doing superhero shit. I don't think I would do that on my own.
Right,
I don't think if I was super strong, I would go fight crime. I don't think I would do that.
Yeah. Well, if you're super fast, I don't think it would really give you the ability to fight crime. But super strong, you would. But I probably wouldn't do it, even if I was super strong. Wouldn't.
Yeah,
that seems like a pain. Like, spend your weekends better.
And also, like...
Also, imagine if you go in vigilantism and start fighting crime. I figure you're going to be, like, arrested by the time the month is out.
Right,
probably. Like, regardless of how good you are.
Also, like, I feel like superheroes are a lot less useful when it's just like regular everyday crime. Like it's less helpful, you know, when there's not like super villains around.
Yeah, that's true too. Like if all that needs to happen is like a cop needs to show up,
right,
and arrest somebody, your superhero powers aren't doing too much.
You're more likely to become a super villain.
Yeah, and I definitely don't want to get into stuff the cops can't handle, like you know, a gang bust or something crazy like that, where
a drug raid.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that would not be my cup of tea. So yeah, I think we all agree on super fast.
It just seems much more both fun and useful.
Yeah. That was an easy choice.
Yeah. Well, they're not all,
you know. Some of them are easier than others.
They're not all mermaid or centaur.
But yeah, and just because you can't be super fast or super strong doesn't mean you can't be super cool by joining us on our Patreon. If you want to be hypothetically cool, you can hop onto our Patreon and donate $1 a month to support our show, and it helps us keep making our excellent content for you, the listener. If you want to be hypothetically cooler, you can donate $3 a month and gain access to voting rights, so you can start voting for what questions we answer on the show. When we make changes to the show, we'll have votes on those. And basically anything else that we can think of to put out to a vote to our listeners will be at the $3 range. Have your voice be heard and influence the product that you enjoy. And then lastly, if you want to be the hypothetical coolest, you can join our top tier of $5 a month, which gives you access to bonus behind the scenes episode every single month, which is a more casual hangout episode with me, Chris, and Ben, where we go over, you know, we review the last week's questions, we do a bit behind the scenes, we tell each other how we really feel about our different answers when we can remove the facade of recording the episode.
And we have a sample episode of Behind the Scenes already out for everyone if you want to listen to that and see what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, our very first Behind the Scenes episode is available for everybody to enjoy. All right, and with that, I'm done asking you guys to give us money. And you can listen to us ask for money again next week, where we answer the following question. What if the speed of light was only 30 miles an hour?